is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, The Golf Cart Factory, Advanced Rehabilitation, Live Oak Fiber, and by TheSouthernSportsEdition.com. And now, here's your host, the voice of the Camden County Wildcats, Michael Spears.
Welcome to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Golf Cart Factory, Advanced Rehabilitation, Live Oak Fiber, and TheSouthernSportsEdition.com. And now, joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Travis Rowland. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. Doing all right.
Coach, just to jump right into a tough night last Friday night for the trip to Lowndes. What are your takeaways from that?
We got to handle adversity. I'll keep saying that. I saw one of the kids, they always put their feelings on social media.
Of course.
I saw one of them finally say, like, hey, guys, we got to face adversity. And I always tell them, embrace it. Look at it. Look it square in the face and embrace that it's there and it's coming. And so I think for us, that's been the biggest thing is we just got to handle adversity the right way. I think, Coach Alford said, that was our first drive all year. Where our first drive of the game, we didn't get points. And so I think when we didn't get points the first drive, then we come right back, drive back down, don't get points again, I think it made our confidence falter a little bit. And we can't allow our confidence to falter in big games. That's from a coaching perspective.
Yes, sir.
For us as coaches, we can't let it falter. And then the same thing with the kids. So we got to continue to just, I think that's one of the biggest takeaways is we got to face adversity the right way and embrace that there's a challenge in front of us and we got to respond the right way and keep fighting.
What's your message to the team afterwards? Like, how was that afterwards?
Same as always. I think, in wins,
I
try to move on. But I told them, man, because even in a win, right, you got to keep the outside noise out and the inside noise in. Because outside noise will tell you after a win, you're the greatest team ever. You're going to win a state championship. Nobody can beat you. Ta-da. And then when you start believing that, you don't prepare right, right? Or you don't do something the right way. You don't respect the game like you should. And after a loss, you got subbed. You're not ready, you're not prepared, or whatever it may be. And so you got to keep the outside noise out, the inside noise in, and you got to stay positive. Because the thing is, we all know in life, if you wallow in sorrow, you wallow in grief, you're going to stay in there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, in football, you don't have time to wallow. You wallow too long, you look up and it's Wednesday by the time you get your mind right. And the practice week is over on Wednesday. So, in a sense, you walk through on Thursday, but the work part of it is over on Wednesday. And so I think that's one of the – I try to stay the same. My mom was here. She asked me if I was all right when we got home. And I was like, Mom, I don't get too high. I don't get too low. Losing is a part of it. You never want to lose it. Like I always say, like the people that say they don't want to lose a close game – they're crazy. Give me the close loss any day.
Sure.
Having a performance like that's not fun, because – coaches, we get to watch the film and we see how close we really were to having a stop or to scoring a touchdown if this was done better or that was executed better or we made a call faster or whatever it may be. We called it to the left instead of the right, right? There's so many things that go into it. And so you have to take the solace in that. You have to and you be real with yourself. Like, where was I bad as a coach? Where were we bad as a football team? And you learn from it and you move on. And that's like I said, we've done it already. We played a helter-skelter game against Valdosta. We responded in beat Richmond Hill, and then we had a bad outing against Lowndes. And I said, shoot, it's the same thing Richmond Hill went through. Richmond Hill got dominated by us and then said, we're going to go against Valdosta. We're going to go out there and perform our best. And, the quarterback didn't play, but they still put up 35 points in that Valdosta defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows how wide open our region really is. And that's the thing. Region 1 is any given Friday. So – just that's the message to our kids. Keep working, keep grinding, and winning, you take care of everything. So that's the only thing we can do.
You said something to me a couple of weeks ago that I have spent so much time thinking about that's stuck in my head, and I think you said somebody said it to you along your career somewhere, but in football, there are wins and lessons.
Wins and learns,
that's
wins
what
and
it
learns.
Was.
Yep.
That's just, I feel like that's something that's really valuable in a situation like
that. Yeah, it is, because you cannot, this generation is far different from the generations of kids that you and I how we grew up. You know, where it was, if you didn't play well, your coach reamed you. He didn't care about reaming you. Your mama didn't care about him reaming you. And you had to deal with it and move on. This generation, like, we have to be very strategic about how we do it. They have so many other avenues
to have success. Lots of options, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so we have to make sure that we keep them, you know, uplifted and you know, while being starting to get on them. Because they'll tell you, you know, we've been, they know, you know, coming in the sense of urgency that we're gonna, that we have, you know, on a weekly basis. But even after a lot, after the learn, right, we're talking about.
Right.
But we just have to be strategic about how we help them learn the lesson from that result that we weren't on the right side of.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Last week, Coach, if y'all had won the toss against Richmond Hill, you mentioned to me that if y'all had won that toss, you were going to take the ball.
Yep.
They won the toss and elected to defer, so you got the ball started fast.
Yep.
And then this past Friday, y'all won the toss and took the ball.
Yep.
How important is that, saying that quick start is kind of everything for this team? Have they been behind at home? I feel like we've only ever been behind on the road.
Yeah, we've only been behind on the road. Yeah, for sure. Because we were behind 14-3. We were up 3-0 to start the game. And then Brunswick scored 14 points.
Right.
And then we responded with a 12-play drive to make it 14-10. And that got us rolling. And we might have scored 24 straight points, something like that, in that Brunswick game. We have not been down at home. You know, for me, I think our guys we're young on defense, right? You know, we're playing through it, but I think our young guys like to go watch their older buddies, their older teammates, their brothers go out and score points, because now they get the confidence, like, okay, big bro took care of it, now it's my turn to go play. And that was kind of just the thing of, let's go out here and, you know, our explosive senior heavy side of the football, let's let them set the tone for us as a program. And like I was telling the 912 guy, you know, mm-hmm. for all intents and purposes, in the last game, we did that. We ended up with the illegal man down filling the RPO because, you know, Parks ended up having to scramble. And like I said, your old lineman, RPO to him is run. He's run blocking. And so he doesn't have any idea.
Yeah.
Right, he has no idea what's going on behind him. He didn't know Parks had scrambled, and now he's all the way down the field. So that is what led to us punting on the first drive, right? And so, you know, then we get a stop, get the ball back, drive back down. You know, I'm like, you know what? We've got some really good offensive talent, great decision maker Parks. We'll go for it. And, you know, we throw the interception. You know, so I think, you know, that definitely, us doing that is to let our guys, our offense, who they have a lot of faith in, go out and show that, yes, our offense can move it on anybody.
Sure.
Right? And so that was kind of, that was the logic. Because I'm a defensive guy now. I love getting the stop and then getting the ball at half. But I also recognize year to year, your team may be different. And sometimes you have to let the best side of the ball at a given time go out there and kind of perform.
So after that, Coach, what's been your focus or your message to the team this week?
Again, all year they've heard me talk about worry about us.
Yeah.
We can't put stock into what's on the front of somebody's jersey or the side of their helmet. We have to worry about us. And if we take care of us, we are a very good football team. Like, a very good football team. Again, like, I keep pointing to the fact that, you know, Richmond Hill is now like, oh, my God, Richmond Hill. I'm like, guys, we dominated that football game.
Yes, you did.
We dominated that.
All three phases.
That's a football team that people have now put in a high regard, and we dominated that football team. So, for me, it's about worrying about us because, yes, are there some calls that we want back as a program in last week's game? Yes. But are there things that we could have executed much better as the players? Yes. And so that's where it's like, we don't need to worry about the opponent per se. It's more so us. Right, trusting the system, trusting that if coach says the run's going to be there in the C-gap, run it in the C-gap. You know, coach trusting that he can call a play for all different types of players. So I think for me it's just, you know, staying focused on us and getting us better. We can't control what anybody else does.
More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network right now. These words from our sponsors.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons will design a treatment plan just for you, so you can get back in the game quickly and safely. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
Looking for an affordable golf cart? Golf Cart Factory is your answer. Exclusive dealer of Royal EV golf carts, way more affordable than those other guys. conveniently located 2723 Glen Avenue, right next to Pinball Palace. Come see our great selection, free delivery and financing available. Street legal carts, maintenance, free batteries, road speeds up to 35 miles an hour, Bluetooth stereo, rear backup camera, and more. Golf Cart Factory, 470-929-3023, or check them out online, golfcartfactory.com.
Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Golf Cart Factory, and Advanced Rehabilitation. Coach, how has practice been going this week?
Practice has been going amazing. And I told the coach, I said, man, it sucks that when you lose a game, like, somebody might come to your practice and say, man, they're really getting after it. I'm like, we've had three phenomenal weeks of practice. Like, Valdosta, we had a great week of practice. Mm-hmm. I think offense was a little better than us in practice, than our defense, but we didn't play well, right? Offense played pretty well, though. You know, the turnovers are one thing. They scored 21 points, even with the two turnovers, and the special teams were great. Richmond Hill, we had a great week of practice. We dominated the football game. Last week, we prepared well, and we just did not play well on Friday night. And that's something that we got to fix, you know, with the whole road stuff and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then I think, you know, I talked to our leadership council on Sunday. I met with those guys to just get a pulse of the team. And I was worried because they were very solemn. And you could tell that, like, we had been punched in the face and, like, we had, you know, I was like, I hope it's not a knockout blow because you could see, right? And then Monday in the weight room, we were still kind of moving slow. And I was like, oh, God. And then we went to practice on Monday. Which is yesterday. Jesus, sure. Days already. Went to practice on Monday, and the kids came out with a ton of energy, and they responded. And I thought, you know, and I challenged the coaches to be better, to have better body language. You know, I could tell everybody, you know, Camden County fans that, you know, I had somebody talk to me about some of our coaches' body language on the sideline, and I addressed it because you can't ask the kids to believe.
Sure.
In when you're down, if the adults don't have body language that says I believe, and so. Purposefully, we went out there yesterday with great energy, and I thought it was a great job. And then today in the weight room, the kids were phenomenal today with their energy, bars clinging around, kids, you know, having energy about moving some weight. So, you know, I think the kids are bouncing back well. Their kids are resilient.
You mentioned the leadership council. That's one of the awesome things that I think that you do. How valuable is that? Like, just the leadership coming from these guys. How are they chosen for that?
Right. So I'll tell you how crazy it is. Like, when we met with them yesterday, you know, the school day makes it tough. We had three meetings in the summer. We got it going in July. And, when we came back before the July break, and we got it going in the summer. And we had two meetings in July and then one in August. And the school day makes it kind of difficult to have it because they'd all have different lunches and those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I met with him yesterday, Parks goes, Coach, we need another meeting. He said, because when you guys, when we were meeting in the summer, matter of fact, they met more than that. They only met four or five times in the summer. But he was like, you guys were teaching us how to be a leader. And he said, teaching us how to be a leader as a group. And so he said, we got to figure out how we can do it so that we can stay on the same page about how things are going. And so it's showing that they're believing in that part of it, and that part of it is going to continue to grow and help us as this program continues to move along our path and the path that we're walking. And then as far as how they're chosen, we go with the coaches, and we have the coaches kind of choose a senior at their spot and that's shown some leadership skills. So once the coaches choose that, how we grow it is we allow those seniors to nominate a younger guy or two at their position.
Okay.
So now once we get the older guys going, we then add in the younger guys so that when the seniors graduate, now we're building it up. And that's kind of how we keep it going and get guys across the line.
What a cool concept that is. And I'm sure that's working really well. Coach, one of the bright spots I kind of felt like I saw on Friday night, Daquan Edwards, it looked like he blocked a point after attempt and a field goal attempt.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that special teams play from those kids was pretty good.
Daquan is one of those super sophomores that we've talked about that has a motor that does not stop. He's a kid that, he loves the game of football, goes really hard all the time. And, you know, again, Coach Matt Mays doesn't allow for you to be a defense lineman for him, and you don't play every play hard. And so he's a kid that brings the juice every day, and he's a kid that kind of helps everybody keep up with their energy. I mean, there's a play Jalen Johnson makes and Daquan's one of the first ones over to celebrate with them. And it was about 10 yards away from the ball. And, you know, a big D lineman is like, man, I ain't going over there. But Daquan runs over to celebrate with them. They hit a little dance or whatever. And so that's kind of the energy that Daquan comes with. And you're always glad to see a kid show effort on a field goal. And even after a touchdown, because a lot of times kids take that time on field goal, on extra point block to take a playoff to pout. You know, but no, he's getting down in the stands, trusting in what Coach Lester Davis has us doing on field goal block, where we're coming from, and he was able to get his hand on two kicks yesterday, on Friday.
Awesome. You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So, Coach, let's shift over to this coming Friday. Colquitt County comes in. What kind of a team are they? They've been kind of up and down. Like, you would look at their record and say, man, they've lost a few games. But I don't think that means anything right now.
Well, first of all, it doesn't mean anything in this region just because this is this region. And then second of all, the teams they lost to, Lee's going to be a favorite to possibly win.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, a championship.
Every year.
And then you've got they lost to North Gwinnett, who I think is going to make a run in 6A, you know, to a third round. You know, because I think getting to the third round in 6A, you know, you're gonna be a really good football team to get the Thanksgiving weekend. So, you know, I think that they are just like they've always been in a sense. It's like they're attacking it a different way. The running game is the biggest part of the program right now for offense. They are about 68-32, so I might as well say 70-30 run to pass. And 34-23 did an amazing job running the football. And I think, you know, that's going to be something for us that we have to stay attached to and make sure we, like much like the Richmond Hill game, we've got to make sure we stop the run. You know, I think we've got to establish the running game on offense early, and we've got to stop the running game on as defense to make them be in third and long situations.
You mentioned a couple of them, but who stands out to you on film, and, you know, who should we be looking out for?
So 34, man, he's the starting running back. You know, it's nameless names, and that's just numbers.
And that's okay,
But the two of those guys are phenomenal running backs. 34 has blown up a little bit. He's gotten quite a bit of attention offensively, you know, and from a college perspective, he's done a phenomenal job. And so I think, you know, he's going to be somebody we got to wrap up. You know, he's just like the kid from Richmond Hill. You know, I think he's a little bit short. He's 5'11", about 175, 180, but he's a hard runner, and he's a burner. Like, you know, he's broken some runs against almost everybody, but also held him in pretty good check. But I think that, you know, again, that's, you know, we got to bottle the running game up for sure.
So defensively or offensively for us, defensively for them, what do they traditionally run defensively?
They're 3-4 team. Okay. So, you know, like they're one of the odd. I think we've only got two even front teams in our region, which is, you know, Valdosta and Richmond Hill. Valdosta kind of floats between the two.
Yes,
Richmond Hill's way more 4-2 even front, but Colquitt's a 3-4 team. They'll fluctuate from 3-4 to 3-3 like we
Stack,
are. But 51 is he's a man child, you know. But it's like in this 51's a man child. 8 has been a starter. Both of them are, I think, two of three or four starters back of that defense. And I think both of those guys do a great job of making plays and being active up front. You know, and again, it's every week, right? You know, everybody for the most part is going to have a dominant D lineman and a linebacker that can fly. And so I think it's just par for the course. You know, that's why it's like
it's like they grow them in this region,
right? Yep, sure do.
All right, more to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Life is fast. Work. Family, kids, your internet has to keep up. Upgrade to the best internet service provider in the Golden Isles with Live Oak Fiber. Enjoy blazing fast speeds with no data limits, unmatched reliability, and service. We have thousands of happy customers, so scheduling slots go fast. Don't miss out. Sign up now at liveoakfiber.com or call 888-396-1243.
Dealing with an injury that has you sidelined? Let the highly trained professionals at Advance Rehab get you off the bench and back in the game. With locations in Brunswick, St. Simons, St. Mary's, and Folkestone, we're here to serve you. Whether it's rehab for an injury, post-surgical recovery, performance enhancement, or injury prevention, there's no better answer than Advance Rehab. For more info, check out AdvanceRehab.com or find us on Facebook and Instagram. Give a like and follow.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment is brought to you by Live Oak Fiber. and by the SouthernSportsEdition.com. So, Coach, you know, the team's been obviously a little bit different on the road than at home, right? But I think that has a lot to do with what we talked about before, you know, getting the lead at home right away. It's like they play differently from in front. Is it just the level of competition with Valdosta and Lowndes, or is there something different about this team on the road?
Everybody's been good. I mean, you know, because you can say level of competition, but Richmond Hill goes out and wins.
Of course, gosh.
And, you know, yes, Todd Robinson didn't play, but again, like I said, they still scored 35 on that defense.
On that defense, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, they went on the road and didn't play that great, right, from there, from how they would feel. And so, you know, we've got to figure out. I just think it's more so a handling adversity situation. You know, you think about the Valdosta game, we were fighting back and forth. I mean, it was 21-14 at the end of the first quarter. It was a great ball game. We just happened to turn it over three straight times,
right,
and they cashed in three times. You know, two of them were drives that were 12 yards or less. You know, so if Valdosta could go on offense against Valdosta State, they get the ball on the 12-yard line, and the five, I'm going to say they're going to score. You know, they're going to get to college.
Oh, gosh,
team.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, I think those are situations. We got to figure it out. You know, hopefully, good for us. You know, you're going to the playoffs. You'll be going to Atlanta, and I don't know if, you know, being in region makes our, you know, if there's a mental thing that we got because it's a region game, we're down and we're like, oh my God, here we go, or whatever it may be, you know. But like I said, luckily for us, that has to go behind us. We can't even remote let that occupy space
sure. In
our head. We have to keep up with the space that we're in right now, and the reality that we are is that we're at home to finish our region play. And this is a place we've been traditionally good at forever. So we've got to continue that trend and stay good at home.
So region play, as you mentioned, it still kind of feels like it could be wide open, right?
Oh, it is.
You got four teams at 2-1. You know, Valdosta obviously, you know, beat us, beat Colquitt, but then lost to Richmond Hill, who we beat. Colquitt County is also 2-1. They beat Lowndes, lost to Valdosta, and then beat Tift last week. And then you got Lowndes, lost to Colquitt, won at Tift, and beat us. But what's interesting is, like, I was trying to write this down, and it's hard to kind of verbalize this, that we have beat the teams that beat the teams that the teams we beat lost to.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's a crazy
thing.
To be
the man, like, it was a great.
Right, so, like, losing to Valdosta, beating Richmond Hill beating Valdosta. Now, if Colquitt comes in after having beat Lowndes and we can take care of business at home, I mean,
it's wide open.
Yeah, it seems like it's wide open at that point.
This is a weird, like, and that's why I said, like, somebody asked me that. I said, man, I'm not even trying to wrap my brain around all the scenarios that could ensue with us winning out, you know, because there's so many different things that go into that. All I'm concerned with is us beating Colquitt. But again,
yes, sir.
That everybody having that one in the loss, at least a one in the loss column, again, shows how crazy our region is. And like I said, Tift, you know, who's 0-3, has gotten better every week.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And they've scored more points as the weeks have gone by. So, like, but also has to deal with Tift this week, and then we have to deal with Tift next week. And, you know, hypothetically, if Tift lost Valdosta, they're not going to want to go 0-5 in the region.
Absolutely.
So they're going to come in here with us and give us everything they got. And so, you know, Richmond Hill is going to go to Lowndes and thinking, like, man, if we can get the three wins, we're playing Colquitt next week for a shot to win the region, you know? And so there's a lot that's going into all these games.
Oh, I mean, yes.
Colquitt is at 2-1. If they lose to us, they're 2-2 and tied with us. And so there's a lot that's going to go into all of these games. I mean, think about it. Like, I'll give you a crazy scenario. Yeah,
there's a lot of
Richmond Hill,
sauce in
Richmond
there.
Richmond Hill beats Lowndes. That puts Lowndes at 2-2.
Okay.
We beat Colquitt. That puts Colquitt at 2-2. And us at 2-2. Now think about that. That's a three-way tie.
It really is, yeah.
For just second place, like, or whatever, however you look at it, because third, because Richie would be in first. Like, it's a weird situation where all this is going to be, you know, Friday nights. it's going to be, you know, that's why the only thing you can worry about is what's in front of you, and what's in front of us is the Colquitt County Packers.
Focus on what we can focus on and what we can affect. I got you. But it sure is fun to think about this scenario.
Yeah, it's definitely – there's a ton of scenarios.
And the top two teams will get home games in the playoffs. And, you know, that seems like that would be huge for us. Last year going on the road all those weeks in a row, you know, that was a challenge for these kids. Yeah, no doubt. It was a challenge for us adults following this team.
Definitely taxing. for everybody. You know, one of the beauties of that those trips is that you do leave a day early, so you kind of you get them, you got them bottled up, you got them getting them focused and things like that. So you know, the biggest part is getting in. You know, a lot of it too with how Georgia does the playoffs. A lot of it's, you know, matchups. And depending upon where you land, who you get, you know, the matchups are different. So it's going to be an exciting finish. I think high school football fans in our region are going to be treated to some good football, some hard football that I think now everybody, you know, is going to be excited about.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, like you just mentioned, if things always went the way we wanted them to, then it wouldn't be so much fun watching these games, would it? You know?
No, it would not be.
What's your message to the public and to the fans of this team?
Keep coming out to support us, man. These kids are fighting hard. I know, you know, nobody likes getting blown out, and I put that in air quotes. Nobody likes getting blown out. I promise they're not trying to. We're not trying to as a program, total program. But, you know, the results are what they are. You know, we knew what we were facing coming in the sense of, again, like, you know, having 15 new starters out there and some of these kids first time in some of these venues and having their eyes opened and, you know, having to understand that week by week by week, we have to continue to get better. And so I think that's one of the message would be just continue to support this football team. You know, the true Camden County fans that are for Camden, like I keep saying, when you're for Camden, there's no point. It'd be insane to say you're giving up with so much of the season left to go.
Oh, sure.
Because the whole objective is, while yes, we want to win a region title, the whole objective is to give ourselves a shot. And you think about last year, you know, we got in the last game of the season last year. You know, and we were down, I think, 20. I think Coach Thompson said, because it's at halftime.
Yeah, so the kids at Lowndes.
We were down 20 or 21 last year at Lowndes, and the kids found a way. And so they found a way because they knew they had support. There was full belief from the bleachers, full belief from the sideline. And we got to continue to do that to support the kids and be for Camden and what we do. And let's get ready to roll. Let's have this thing. Let's have Chris Gilman Stadium rocking on Friday at 7:30.
Cannot wait. Thanks so much, Coach. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Please come back and check us out next week. My name is Mike Spears, signing off.